Hello, this is Mel Allen, editor of Yankee Magazine, and once again I want to talk about one of the favorite stories that we have published. It was in April 1998, and we published an unforgettable blend of reporting and memoir by a New Hampshire writer named Jeff Rapsis. The title was Pilgrimage to Moose Mountain, and the pilgrimage refers to the author's climb on Moose Mountain, which is not far from Hanover, New Hampshire. This was no ordinary hike, because on October 25th, 1968, Northeast Airlines Flight 946 crashed into this very mountain. 10 persons survived, but 32 were killed, including the pilot, who at age 52 had over 15,000 hours of flight experience. The pilot's name? John Rapsis, the father of the writer of the story. The prop plane had taken off from Boston shortly before 6 p.m., its destination was Montpelier, Vermont. There was to be a refueling stop in Lebanon, New Hampshire. As the plane descended towards the Lebanon airport, it crashed. Jeff Rapsis was only 4 years old at the time. It was a perfect storm of poor weather, which interfered with the radio signals and navigation aids being relayed to the crew from land. In poor visibility, the pilot thought they had plenty of altitude as they were nearing the airport, when in fact, the tree-filled mountain suddenly loomed. Still, the official investigation concluded the crash was caused by pilot error. One day, in his mid-30s, Jeff was at the Delta Airlines ticket counter in Boston, years before Delta had bought out Northeast Air. He asked if anyone there had once been with Northeast Air. Perhaps, did anyone remember his father? The answer was yes. Soon after, Jeff was invited to a 20th anniversary reunion of former employees. It's a huge affair, he wrote in this story. Almost everyone there seems to have known my dad. And that is weird because, after all, I didn't. So I listened to stories I'd never heard before from flight attendants and pilots he worked with, even from a guy who loaded the bags on the last flight. So Jeff sent off to Washington for a crash report. Included in a big packet that they sent back was a detailed map. Now he knew he had to find a part of his past that helped shape the man he now was. In this story, Jeff weaves between his climb in 1998 and the details of the crash and all the dramatic intensity. This is from the story. Just before rescuers arrive, an explosion erupts in the wreckage, most likely a fuel tank igniting. It lights the steep mountainside with an orange glow and sends a small mushroom cloud toward the dark, wet sky. Flaming debris tumbles among trees down the mountainside. The first rescuers find an unbelievable scene, lit by fire, but shrouded in smoke. Flames lick mangled aircraft metal, which softens and drips into puddles like wax among fallen trees and engine parts. Bodies lie dismembered on rocks, with the plane's triangular tail still intact, rising into the treetops. Then we are with him, looking for clues. This again is from Jeff's story. Rock by rock, we hop down the mountainside, holding onto trees. The slope is steep. If there's anything left up here, we should run into it, not too far down. And yes, a little farther down, it's clear something happened here. Badly decayed tree trunks are strewn over the rocks. Standing trees are small, none of them older than the accident. Sides of boulders are burned with red and orange tones, as if fired in a kiln. On the forest floor, junk is everywhere. Mostly scraps of aircraft aluminum crumpled to look like pieces of paper. We're not quite ready for what we see. Struts and funny rocks that turn out to be gobs of aluminum that melted, then cooled. The gobs were sometimes embedded with intact bolts, like a sheet metal nut cluster. Between two rocks, I find a woman's shoe. Moss is growing on it. I don't pick it up. At the end of the story, we find that he has found not only bits and pieces of the plane where his father died, but a measure of peace. Today, Jeff Rapsis is still writing, still lives in New Hampshire. He's helped start several community papers in the state. He's known widely for being one of the few pianists who has a passion for accompanying silent films. Fans of the all-but-lost form of the silent film will find him nearly every month at Wilton Town Hall, playing for special silent film screenings. In a way, he is still bringing the past to life, as he did in this remarkable story. This is Mel Allen, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.